Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
My Health Record is a computerised government health record that collects all your health information in one place. It aggregates all the data. It's very much in the news because we have just started a three-month period during which you can opt out of having your information in the system. Now, previously, the system was on an opt-in basis. About 6 million Australians joined the system in the last 6 years. So now it flips. Now it's opt out rather than opt in. And it's opt out as to who can see your data and what data goes in. Many people indeed are nervous about their data being included, especially really after the government had computer problems with the census in 2016. And you might say one government department, one government instrumentality is the same as another. You might say, no, this is an inherent problem with big data sets anyway, because certainly not just governments, but private corporations have had issues with hacking and other privacy concerns. So it's a genuine concern, but how do you weigh that risk? There's the Cambridge Analytica Facebook data scandal. There is a greater awareness of hacking and identity theft and the value of our personal data. So how do we weigh all of this in the balance? On the flip side of all of that is that My Health Record will actually improve patient outcomes. It'll save time, it would reduce costs, and it may actually help you to keep track of things like your medications or an elderly relative's medications. It could be a very beneficial thing. Let's take a look at that issue from a medical and also a legal standpoint. Tonight we've got Dr. Joanne Mansky-Nankervis. She's senior lecturer at Melbourne University, a general practitioner and researcher in clinical data analytics. Also on the line, Dr. Megan Prichter, a Melbourne Law School research fellow. Well, good evening to you both.
Thanks for having us, Stephen.
Joanne, firstly, from a general practitioner's point of view, a clinical data analyst's point of view, what's the value of having this big data set that follows me around?
Well, I think what we need to think about to start off with is that our health information is currently spread across lots of different places in the health system. So you might have some of your information with your GP, you might have some with a hospital, you might have one with a specialist that maybe you see in their rooms. And there's currently no continuity or place where all that information really reliably comes together. So the benefit of the My Health Record is for there to be a central place that people can access to get access to medical records. And I think for individuals, you know, most people do not have access to their own health information. And the My Health Record is one way for them to get that access.
Well, I had some tests done the other day and they said they'd sent the results to my GP and I rang up. I said, well, could I have a copy of those, please? And they said, oh, no, you'll have to get them from your GP. Well, I was indignant. So this would solve that problem. Would it reveal things that, when placed together, information that I might not think to tell one physician, when it came together in the hands of another physician, might suddenly make sense of a condition that I had?
I think that's a really interesting point, Stephen, because there are people that have lots of different medical conditions and they might take a lot of different medications. Now, obviously, your health professional really does need to be aware of all of those things to work with you to help you make the best decisions about your health. And it's really common for people to, for example, forget all the medications that they're on, or maybe an allergy to a medication that they might not remember a name to. So that's important information that can be shared with your health professional. It's really important to think about what kind of information is in the My Health Record. So the My Health Record can contain a shared health summary, so that's something that you can work with your GP to upload, which basically has a list of your medical conditions, your medicines, your allergies and your immunisations. You can upload your own information into the My Health Record, but there'll also be other information like if you decide to be an organ donor, your immunisation register, but also your prescriptions that you've got dispensed by your pharmacist, as well as Medicare item numbers. Now, you do have some control over that information and if you would like it to be on your My Health Record. And, of course, as we've been hearing, you do have the decision about whether you want to opt out and have a My Health Record at all. You can also put different settings on your My Health Record to determine who you want to have access to it. So I think that's a really important thing for people to be aware of, that they can set different privacy settings so that there is some control over who can see the information that's in their record.
Yeah, so all of that makes a lot of sense, and it's the sort of thing that we would be hoping for and increasingly depending on in many other aspects of our lives. I suppose many people use databases like this in their work. You might expect that the organization that services your car might contain a record for warranty purposes and whatever. There's sort of an expectation there, isn't there, Megan, that this kind of data will follow us around. Everyday life sort of depends on it.
Yeah, that's definitely true, Stephen. And I think the health system has really lagged behind a lot of other sectors in terms of health data management. I mean, often GPs will still fax off your referral to a specialist or a hospital, which I don't know of any other industry that still uses fax machines. So certainly I think people are quite familiar, at least, if not entirely comfortable with these kinds of collections of data following them around.
All right, so from what you've seen, I'll ask you first, Joanne, from a practitioner's point of view, medical practitioner, from what you've seen, does it give you some confidence that if you load information about a patient with their consent, that you and they together can decide what others will see? Does it give you confidence that it's a system that's reliable and secure?
Well, it's obviously very difficult for me to 100% comment on the security.
Yes.
I know that the people that have developed the system have obviously putting in a lot of time and effort and expense has gone towards that. So if we assume that the security issue is being dealt with, I think that I overall think that this is a good concept. I think that it is good for people generally to be able to have access to their health information. And the My Health Record does have that capacity, as I said, for people to go into their My Health Record, have a look, and if there are things that they don't want to share, then they are able to either remove that or control what types of people or what people can see that information. I think that that is an important safeguard. And I'd really encourage people to, if they have a My Health Record already, to go in there and have a look at the privacy settings. And just think about, okay, what do I want to do with my health record and who would I like to be able to access it? For some people, they might want to actually add people. They might want to, an elderly person might want their children to have access to their medical record, for instance, or a parent, if they've got young children, might want to also have access to some of that information.
Now, Megan Prichter, as a law researcher, a lawyer, one of the issues that you'd be concerned about, I imagine, is informed consent. So when we're consenting, there's a question of whether we know everything that we're consenting to, or even in an unintended way. And I'm thinking that probably Facebook contains as much information about my medical history as is currently available in any public database, as it were, or any, medical system database. Why? Because I tweet about my illnesses. Only to get sympathy from my friends.
Oh dear. Well, I think that's a good point. And somebody else pointed out the other day that your bank probably knows a lot about your health because your credit card history, for instance, will show the doctors that you've seen, the medicine, every time you filled a prescription and so on, although not the details of the prescription itself, obviously. Yeah. But so, yes, I think there is a lot of information floating around in this system. And it's up to each person to decide, how much they value their privacy versus value the benefits of this system, I suppose, in making a decision.
But are you the sort of person that reads all of the information before clicking OK? This is this issue of informed consent that I'm talking about.
No, I'm not. Yes. And I think there was a great report came out just this week from the Consumer Policy Research Centre that said I think only about 6 or 7% of people read all of the terms and conditions, and most of them will still click yes, even if they feel very uncomfortable about it because it's the only way to access a system. So here, we're definitely encouraging people to think through the implications of this system for them and to make an informed choice to opt out before the 15th of October if they want to do that.
Have you had a look at the terms and conditions surrounding the My Health system?
I haven't. I've read a note that they're the longest terms and conditions of any system online, even longer than the Google or Facebook terms and conditions. I suppose I know a lot about them from the background legislation. So, for instance, there's a provision in there that's concerning a lot of people, which is that law enforcement agencies and other government entities can request the digital health agency that owns the My Health Record system to access your health record.
Yes.
Now, the agency said that they'll only do that if there's a court order, but actually the law doesn't say a court order is necessary. And so, as I understand at the moment, there hasn't been any requests from any entities to access people's My Health Record, but that's something, you know, that is written into the legislation that people ought to know about.
Indeed, and as a former legislator, I'm just thinking back to those times when, you know, as the humble backbencher, you'd look at a clause in a piece of legislation and parliamentary counsel would have briefed the party room and they'd say, oh, yes, it'll only happen in this instance, or the agency concerned will come and say, oh, no, we'd never use that, and yet you never really know. I'm certainly not a conspiracy theorist either, by the way. I'm generally a pretty sanguine sort of person when it comes to that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit concerning, particularly as the digital health agency doesn't have to tell you or your doctor if they've given out information. On the other hand, you know, police can currently access your health record if they have a court order or subpoena. So I suppose in that regard, it's not a huge change, but it's something certainly to be mindful of.
Jane?
Yeah, I agree it's something to be mindful of as well. However, we have to remember that this information does exist in lots of different places already. The My Health Record is bringing it all together. That is of benefit for people because it means that they can access it more easily. Might it make it more risky in terms of a security sense? Yes, it probably does. I think that we have to remember that, as Megan said, we can already have people requesting access to medical records. When people, for instance, also apply for like life insurance, often they are giving permission for that insurer to be able to have access to medical records and medical results and Medicare visits. So I think, you know, just generally people do need to sometimes read the small print for lots of different things, both with My Health Record and probably more generally anything when it comes to different people wanting to access your health data.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, yes, but they don't, do they? That's the trouble. I mean, this is where we want to ask our politicians, and let's say we move ahead saying, okay, it's generally in everyone's best interest that this happens. And firstly, that you've got a strong opt-out provision, so that's there. Yeah. Secondly, that there's some sort of oversight. So if that power is ever used to access, then the minister ought to report to the parliament that it had been used. Not naming individuals, but how many times has it been used, for instance, have a parliamentary oversight committee so we can build oversights into systems like these. And my view is always in a democracy, those are pretty important. Our guest on Open House, Dr. Joanne Manske-Nankervis. She is a senior lecturer, general practitioner and researcher in clinical data analytics from the University of Melbourne. And Dr. Megan Prichter. She's a lawyer, Melbourne Law School research fellow, also University of Melbourne. Let me ask you both to go down this path for a moment. Let's say my health records contains genetic information that doesn't at the moment lock me out of any insurance or anything of those kinds of things, but down the track, you know, something happens or a new genetic disorder is discovered, uncovered. Should that be a concern either to me or indeed my offspring in the future?
Well, Stephen, I think that's probably a concern that already exists. Can send off some of their genetic material now to get testing for different conditions. And that is really something it's quite a difficult area to work through. It has implications for both you, but also potentially for your family members. Mm. However, I don't think that, I think that that's quite a separate issue from the My Health Record, and might be information that you may not choose to share.
Megan, what does the law say about that sort of issue?
Well, I agree with Joanne that it's not an issue that's only pertinent to My Health Record, but any kind of genetic test has those implications that you may be required to disclose the results to your life insurance company or to let them know that you've had a test at least when you apply for life insurance. And there is quite a lot of advocacy happening at the moment to look at changing the law to prevent life insurers rating your risk based on genetic information. The law is quite unsettled at the moment, not only in Australia but internationally, about whether there's a duty to disclose to, for instance, genetic relatives. And so that's very much a shifting field at present.
Wow. Well, on balance then, as with all of these things, we are in fast developing fields, both in medicine and in the law. Each is trying to keep up with the other as well as its own advancements. And what do we say? Everyone should make their own decision. Is that our conclusion?
I think everybody needs to weigh up the risks and the benefits and decide whether My Health Record's for them. But I say, Stephen, particularly if you've got multiple medical conditions, you're on maybe lots of different medications, you've got complex medical needs, or maybe you've got allergies that would be important for people to know about if, for instance, you weren't able to tell them. Those might be the people that might benefit most from the My Health Record, and people that would really like to have access to their own health information all in one spot are also other people that may potentially benefit from having a My Health Record.
Oh, great summary. And Megan?
Yes, I'd agree with that generally. I think there people are right to be concerned about the privacy and security risks. I think people also should know that the data from the My Health Record can be shared in a de-identified way for research that's in the public benefit. And so, you know, they might like to think about switching off that permission in the My Health Record if they don't want their information to flow into research. I emphasise that that is anonymised data flowing into research, identifiable. But yes, I agree, people really need to weigh up the benefits versus the risks and how much they value certain things, so being in control of their healthcare versus how much they are worried about privacy.
Well, both of you, thanks for your time and thanks for your thoughts. Joanne Mansky-Nankervis and Megan Prichter, thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much, Stephen.
Yeah, the doctor and the lawyer, both from the University of Melbourne. And if you don't have a My Health Record yet, meaning you're not one of those people who's opted in, then you will have one unless you opt out by the 15th of October. You can go to myhealthrecord.gov.au and there's quite a lot of helpful information there about how it will work and what you can do if you want to opt out. And bear in mind exactly what both Joanne and Megan were saying. You can opt out of different parts of it. You can even add other people to your health record, and that may well be quite helpful, I would think, for people who are particularly, with permission, managing their elderly relatives' affairs, their medications, and looking after their conditions and keeping track of what's going on. So who knows? It is an expectation of our age. We'll have this big data to follow us around. Started a discussion today at our house about it, doing this interview, so I hope we've just started one at your house, and I hope it's been helpful.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.